The Holy Gospel according to John, the 10th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. Jesus said, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand who is not the shepherd and does not own the sheep sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and runs away. And the wolf snatches them and scatters them. The hired hand runs away because a hired hand does not care for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that do not belong to this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. So there will be one flock, one shepherd. For this reason the Father loves me, because I lay down my life in order to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it up again. I have received this command from my Father. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. You may be seated. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, this weekend I heard from Pastor Steve that his illness was going to keep him at home, and he asked if I could pinch hit. And I was in the van with my boys, and I said, boys, tell me all you know about sheep and shepherds, because we've got Good Shepherd Sunday coming up, and I need to get a jump start on this sermon. And so the first thing the boys said was, sheep are idiots. I said, okay, they've got that much. Then they had a couple of very interesting theories. One of the children said that Jesus loves all the sheep, not just the sheep that's unique and stands out among the flock. He said, all the sheep are white, but there's this one black sheep, and Jesus loves the black sheep no less and no more than Jesus loves all the other sheep who look like one another. And then there was a third contribution. The third contribution, I wasn't sure when it started out, but this idea was that you have a flock of sheep. Some are black sheep, some are white sheep, and people begin to say, okay, these sheep are good, and these sheep are bad. But then when something happens, the good sheep run away, and the bad sheep stay near the shepherd. And so then the ones you thought were bad turn out to be good, and the ones you thought were good turn out to be bad. I thought these were really insightful on the fly. I thought they kind of covered the bases, both a sheep's relationship to himself, which is to say, a sheep on their own is prone to idiocy. I think they understood sheep in relationship to each other, in which you begin to think, okay, these sheep are good, these sheep are not as good, which sheep am I? And then also this understanding of the sheep's relationship to the shepherd, that whether you are looking like all the other sheep or whether you stand out like a black sheep or something unique, the shepherd loves all of the same. So I'm thankful for that, and now here comes the word of Jesus, the good shepherd. We get the middle of chapter 10. So he's already been talking about sheep, shepherds, the door of the pasture and the gate, and now he is talking about himself as the good shepherd. And here's how he describes a good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand, who is not the shepherd and does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and runs away, and the wolf scatters and snatches them. The hired hand runs away because a hired hand does not care for the sheep. So we have the sheep, the wolf, the hired hand, and the shepherd. Well, the sheep, of course, are vulnerable. There's not a lot of muscle beneath that wool, and their hooves are not very sharp. We, as modern Americans, are know that we're not supposed to give in to a herd mentality, that we are to stand out on our own and seek meaning for ourselves. And yet, when Scripture portrays people like sheep, isolation produces idiocy and endangers us. Sometimes, believing ourselves to be autonomous and free, we will seek a shepherd, even unknowingly, so that we would not be isolated. And there are a lot of shepherds out there and many voices. A hired hand, he's been given the important responsibility to care for the flock, to guide them and to protect them. But the question is this commitment only transactional? Are they paid to care? And maybe they do come to care for the sheep, but will they still care when there's trouble or when a better opportunity arises? Then there's this shepherd The shepherd has moved from renting to ownership. The shepherd owns the sheep. They are his own. He will belong to them in all circumstances. They're his to lead regardless of wolves or wages. Sheep, hired hands, wolves, shepherds. And I ask you, how are your ears tuning into this word this morning? Has your heart already cast you in one of the roles in this drama? Are you a sheep? If so, a good one? A bad one? A gray sheep? Are you a unique sheep, believing yourselves to kind of stand out from the crowd? Are you a basic sheep? You fit in pretty nicely? Are you a hired hand? If so, how's the work going? Are there days you'd like to throw in the towel? Because those sheep will never learn. Perhaps it's time to step into ownership, take on more responsibility, and learn to operate like a shepherd instead of a hired hand. But then also, there's that wolfish instinct lurking not too deep below the surface with a ravenous appetite and a nose that suspects everything in life comes down to winners and losers, predator and prey. So as Jesus spins this parable, tells this story of a shepherd and sheep and wolves and hired hands, he is drawing out a confession from his original audience, the Pharisees who criticized him for healing a man on the Sabbath. And he's drawing out a confession from our own hearts. I'm a sheep. I'm a hired hand. I'm a wolf. I'm a wannabe shepherd. And when the human heart locates itself in the story, or as we say, applies the Bible to my life, we're never too sure. Have I cast myself in the right role? Am I deceiving myself? Does anybody else hear a wolf coming? And in the time it takes for a sheep to reflect on their sheepness, they'll be fleeced by the wolf. That is, sin, death, and the devil will snatch all certainty away from the conscience. So Jesus moves from this cast of characters into giving promises. He says from verse 14, I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me, as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that do not belong to this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. There will be one flock, one shepherd. This is the promise from Jesus. So it all comes down to not what kind of a sheep or a hired hand or a shepherd or a wolf. It comes down to whose voice are we hearing? Whose voice do we know? Whose voice knows us? There's a story of a guest of honor at a social gathering, a famous actor. And at this dinner party, this gathering, he was invited to recite famous passages from Shakespeare and from other kinds of literary works. And so an old pastor was there, and this old pastor submitted his request that this actor would recite the 23rd Psalm, "The Lord is my shepherd." So the actor agreed on one condition, that the old preacher would himself also recite the 23rd Psalm. So the actor stands up, and his intonation was beautiful. He had dramatic emphasis at just the right moments, and after he finished the 23rd Psalm, he sat down to loud applause from the crowd. The preacher stood up, and his voice was rough and broken from many years of preaching, and his diction was anything but polished, but when he finished, there was not a dry eye in the room. Later on, someone asked the actor about this difference, and the actor said, "I know the psalm. He knows the shepherd. And he knows the shepherd knows him. He knows the shepherd knows him by name." One of the fun new things in my life since the pandemic has been working out from home. My wife got me a Peloton bike. It's a bike with a computer screen on it, so you can log in online and there's people in New York and London, instructors who give you the workout and they do it along with you, so you see their studio and they're encouraging you, they're patting you on the back, they're saying you can do this, they can do all this kind of stuff. Peloton users, we have our favorite instructors, we have our favorite styles of classes, but there's one thing the Peloton instructor never does. Never says, Tom Welch, you're doing a great job. They don't know me by name. They might if I'm lucky enough to log on live at New York 5:30 a.m. Pacific time or something, and if maybe it was my 500th bike ride, maybe, just maybe, they'll call out my name tag, and they'll say, Tom loves the Ducks, good job. But they don't know me. They don't know me by name. And most importantly, they can't work out for me. Even if I get a shout out, they don't do a thing for my fitness. But Jesus here, to this crowd, he begins to speak personally. And this relationship begins with his own heavenly Father, that I know the Father and the Father knows me. And it is from this relationship that is God that Jesus now draws us in by name. The Father loves me as I lay down my life to take it up again. Jesus is the good shepherd who dies for the sheep. And doesn't this expose the sheep if the shepherd were to fall? Well, it does not expose the sheep if the shepherd has the power also to take up life once more. The sheep aren't left for the next wolf to come along, but now belong utterly to the undying shepherd. When you put yourself into the story, sheep, hired hand, wannabe shepherd, perhaps a wolf, you can never be too sure where you fit. So here comes the good shepherd speaking to you, brothers and sisters. The good shepherd says, I'm not going to ask you if you're a good sheep or a bad sheep, or a faithful hired hand, or one who would run away. I already know the truth. I'm going to lay down my life for you, and I'm going to take it back up. And we say, am I a good sheep or a bad sheep? And Jesus says, I wasn't very discerning about all that. I took it all upon myself on the cross. The good, the bad, the scattered sheep, and the ones that had stayed bunched together, including sheep not even of the people of Israel, but of another flock, that I may draw all into one flock as the one good shepherd. And so you belong to me now. I'm not laying my life down as an example so you can work your own way up from hired hand to faithful shepherd one day. I'm laying down my life with all your sin on it, so that now I can't tell myself apart from you. When I take my life back up, I take you up with me. I own you now. So you can do all the self-reflection and self-actualization that you like. You can even cast yourself in all the roles. You can be a sheep wolf for hire for all I care. But you can't pull the wool over my eyes. I know you, and I call you by name. I call you by name out of the waters of baptism. I give you my own name in baptism. I call you together by the name of the flock of Bethesda Lutheran Church to a meal I have prepared for you. Yes, even you. Even if you think you stick out like a black sheep that somehow doesn't belong here, or even if you think you're nobody special, indistinguishable from all the rest of the sheep, even you, whose wolfish appetites are rumbling and waiting. You don't need to eat any other flesh than what I provide for you. So come and eat. Come and drink. Come from the green pastures and the still waters. Come from the valley of the shadow of death. Come from the threats that surround. Come. The good shepherd, the good and merciful shepherd, shall lead you all the days of your life, and you will belong in the house of the Lord forever. Amen.